Palestinian friends will slit your throat, Daniel Pearl style, and we'll all be happier. Or, you know, Hitler killed the wrong Jews or whatever. And I was reading those in my introduction to Robert Fisk, and the next morning, he was in my office at 9 o'clock in the morning. I was there just coming in. He showed up with his, you know, notepad and his pencil, and he said, "Where are those emails? I want to see those." So I gave him about a batch of 10, and he went in the corner and he made, you know, fast notes and all that stuff. A couple of days later, there was a story in The Independent. I think it was called "The Strange Kind of Freedom," and I think you're in there too, Jeff.
Yes.
He goes over all the attacks on American Jews who were sort of telling the truth about illegal Israeli occupation, that word occupation that nobody likes to live. We're out of time. Jeff Blankford, thank you for joining us. I just noticed the clock is gone. I'm gone. We'll talk again.
Keep up the great work. Thank you, Dennis. Take care. Bye-bye.
Thank you, Jeff. Thank you.
You are listening to KBOO Portland.
KBOO Community Radio holds open meetings concerning the operations and programming of KBOO in accordance with the requirements of the Communications Act of 1934 and certification requirements of the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. Information about KBOO Community Radio's open meeting policy is available on our website at kboo.fm. Due to the temporary closures of in-station activity at KBOO, meetings will be conducted online via public video conferencing unless otherwise noted. A public link and phone number to attend the meetings are available on our website. The Program Advisory Committee meets on the second Tuesday of the month at 6 p.m. Please visit our website at kboo.fm to verify if a meeting is being held.
KBOO is excited to be part of the Willamette Week Give Guide this year. When you support KBOO through Give Guide, not only does it support your favorite community radio station, it also gives you a little back in return. When you donate $10 or more, you'll get full access to hundreds of local coupons in the Chinook Book app, plus a few other goodies. Available while supplies last. So donate to KBOO on Give Guide today at kboo.fm/give. And thanks.
There's so much that we need to share, so send a smile and show you care.
This is KBOO Portland. Next, it's a special encore presentation of Black Book Talk from May of 2018, when host Emma Jackson Ford interviewed poet, novelist, educator, and New York Times bestselling author Kwame Alexander. He won the Newbery Medal for his young adult novel, The Crossover. The NPR poet in residence has recently published two new books, Light for the World to See, 1,000 Words on Race and Hope, and Becoming Muhammad Ali, co-authored with James Patterson. Kwame Alexander visited KBOO with musical accompaniment provided by Randy Preston. The show opens with Preston's performance of the song Excuse Me from Alexander's young adult novel, Solo. And now, Black Book Talk.
Excuse me. What did you say? I'm sorry, just a little blown away. Is your eyes, oh, your eyes, my mind? Excuse me. Quite get that. You talking to me? Ooh, I just got gotta get my breath. Cause your eyes, they're mesmerizing. Your eyes are hypnotizing me. Eyes are deeper blue than the deepest part of the deep, deep blue sea. Excuse me, I don't mean to intrude. I'm sorry, your eyes are too blue. Forgive me, I just wanted to be sure. Your eyes, that shade, isn't that what they call azure? Cause your eyes, they mesmerize me. Your eyes, they hypnotize me. Your eyes are deeper blue than the deepest part of the deep, deep blue sea. To you, eyes are too blue. Talking to you, talking to you, talking to you.
It was the summer when Nihilators cost a nickel and the Fantastic Four a buck. When I met Harriet Tubman and the Harlem Globetrotters, it was the hottest summer after the coldest winter ever. When a storm shattered my home into a million little pieces and soaring above the sorrow and grief seemed impossible. It was the summer when basketball gave me wings and I had to learn how to rebound on and off the court. It was the summer of 1988 when nothing seemed to be working out for me and all the days seemed to be less lovely.
When I wake up in the morning, love, sunlight burns my eyes, and then something without warning, love, bears heavy on my mind. Then I look at you, and the world's all right with me. Just one look at you, and I know it's gonna be a lovely day.
I'm Emma Jackson Ford, Bookwoman. I am here with Kwame Alexander, Newbery Prize winner, and his guitarist, Randy. Randy Preston, welcome.
Thank you, Emma. Thank you welcome. Much.
You came to Portland when Portland has its best foot forward. The weather, it's great.
Awesome.
Well, you know, we came from snow one day, and then we were in Palm Beach. It was 85 degrees, so we'll take it.
Yeah. Again, welcome. I know that you are a Newbery winner, and I know you're in town to read from your new book, Rebound.
I am. I'm excited. This is my first time in Portland.
Oh.
Yeah, so this is, it's been a great trip, great journey, great interaction with young people today at Jefferson High School. So I'm just happy to be on the West Coast.
Did you get to see any of the sights?
I saw my awesome hotel, the Heathman.
It is a really nice hotel.
The food was amazing. Y'all have good food here in Portland, Emma.
Yes.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah, it's great.
The food is off the chain. But Randy, you walked around today.
I wandered a bit. I went down to the river from the hotel and took some pictures.
That sounds like a song. I went down to the river.
I know. I was thinking I got to write
by
that.
By the riverside.
There you go.
The food is awesome, although I cook a lot at home. And as I said, since my two sons moved home to take care of me, they think they're the best cooks in the world. What is Rebound about?
Rebound is the prequel to The Crossover. The Crossover was a novel about two boys who were stars on the court and off the court, who were trying to find their way to a little bit of joy when their family sort of life began to fall into a million or break into a million little pieces. So they were trying to figure out how to put the pieces back together. And so kids were asking me, we want to know, did they figure out their lives? Were they okay? So I decided to write another book, but instead of writing about what happened later, I decided to write about how they became who they were. So I wrote a prequel to The Crossover, which is Rebound, which is about the father in The Crossover when he was 12 years old. It's about Charlie Bell.
So you mean we're not going to find out what happened to the twins?
I don't know if I can.
Crossover?
Well, I'm not going to say you don't find out. I'm not going to say you are going to find out. I'm going to say read the book and you just may. But I'm not going to leave you hanging.
Okay.
I love my readers and I got love for y'all. I'm not going to leave y'all hanging.
Good. Because yes, we do want to know what happens. So Crossover is his Newbery Award winning book. Can you say a little bit about that?
Josh Bell is my name, but Filthy McNasty is my claim to fame. Folks call me that because my game's acclaimed. So downright dirty, it'll put you to shame. My hair is long, my height's tall. See, I'm the next Steph Curry, LeBron, and Chris Paul. Remember the great my dad likes to gloat? I bought with Magic and the GOAT, but tricks are for kids, I reply. Don't need your pets, my game's so fly. Mom says your dad's old school like an old Chevette. You're fresh and new like a red Corvette. Your game's so sweet, it's Crepe Suzette. Each time you play, it's all net. If anyone else call me fresh and sweet, I burn mad as a flame. But I know she's only talking about my game. See, when I play ball, I'm on fire. When I shoot, I inspire. The hoop's for sale, and I'm the buyer. I tried to write a book that boys in particular, but kids, and actually us too, the adults, would be able to read it and not be able to put it down. Would be able to sort of feel the energy and the rhythm and the movement on the page. About family, about friendship, about all the things that matter. So yeah, it's about basketball, but it's also about life and how kids are supposed to deal with it and sort of offering them some tools and how to deal with it.
It's playoff time, so that's why I think this will be good for bringing to the dinner table tonight.
That's a good idea.
And my two sons are big fans of basketball.
Trailblazers.
Mm-hmm.
So my other favorite poem from Crossover is the one about the cute girl.
The pulchritudinous?
Yes, about the word. Yes.
You like that?
Yes.
You going to read it for us or something?
I was going to ask you.
I'll need So the main character, Josh, he and his twin brother, JB, are best friends until JB meets a girl. And then their relationship sort of begins to get strained because JB's all into the girl and sort of forgetting about his brother. While Vondi and JB debate whether the new girl is a knockout or just beautiful, a hottie or a cutie, a layup or a dunk, I finish my vocabulary homework. And my brother's vocabulary homework, which I don't mind since English is my favorite subject and he did the dishes for me last week. But it's hard to concentrate in the lunchroom with the girls' step team practicing in one corner, a rap group performing in the other, and Vondi and JB waxing poetic about love and basketball. So when they ask, what do you think about her, Filthy? I tell them she's pulchritudinous, which is one of my favorite words. And listeners, if you don't know what it means, you'll have to go to a dictionary.
Look it up.
I also love that the very next page.
I define it.
Yeah. You help the reader out.
Exactly. So I guess all the listeners have to do right now is just go and buy the book.
Ah, very clever.
Yes. What age group is your poetry written for?
Well, I like to think it's 1 to 99, you know. Mm. I write poems at my kids. I got a 9-year-old daughter that she's going to love, that she's going to be able to connect to. And I try to write poems for us, for me and Randy, and for our parents. Like, I really want to write poems that I like, that I think are authentic. I'm not trying to write down to kids, but I'm trying to write about kids. And all of us have kids in our life so we can relate to them. So the poems kind of reflect that. But if we were to, I mean, the publisher says the books are for age like 9 to 14.
How do you share your books with young people?
How do I share them?
Mm-hmm.
The same way I came in the studio to be with the divine Emma. and share. I just start reading the poems. I just let the poetry do the work. I don't talk about why you need to listen to me or why poetry matters. I just share a poem and hopefully it will connect with you. You'll feel something that you weren't feeling before you heard the poem. That's my goal. So we had 1,200 kids this morning at Jefferson, and we just came out on stage and we started reciting and performing from the book. Sometimes I wish I was a superhero. Sometimes I wish I was a superhero, super fly like Quicksilver, speed racing down the court, sleek as a sports car, faster than NASCAR, leaving all my sadness in the dust, far, far away. I wish I could soar, score, throw down a monster dunk like I was Thor. I wish I could elevate my name with a game so good it's Hall of Fame. I wish I could forget all the pain. Yeah, that's what I wish. I could forget all the pain.
I wish that I could fly above the rim so high.
I wish that I was super fly.
Super fly.
I wish that I could soar.
I wish that I could soar above this hardwood floor. And the crowd would roar.
You promised that you were gonna be around forever. And now you're gone, it's kinda like whatever. Or whether I'll ever find my wings and get myself together. I wish that I could soar above the sorrow and the grief. I wish that I could find my wings and learn how to rebound on and off the court. Yeah, that's what I wish.
I wish that I could be the man I wanna become now. But I don't know how. But I don't know how.
That's what we do.
How great! How great is it that you travel with your own guitars?
Yes, I'm the only author on earth who has his own guitars.
I believe it.
My man, ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Randy Preston.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much.
Give it up one more time for your friend of mine, Mr. Kwame Alexander, y'all.
Oh my goodness! So you were right in my neighborhood. You were at Jefferson. That's my neighborhood high
really?
School.
Mm-hmm. We were hungry. You could have invited us over for breakfast.
I know. We didn't know.
Could have had breakfast with us. See?
We didn't See? Know. We didn't know.
But I have to eat healthy.
Oh, I'm with you. We do too.
We do too.
Stuff to have oatmeal and things like that for my breakfast.
Right.
We're in the middle of a 30-city bus tour. We have a tour bus. Emma, I'm going to show you pictures of the tour bus. And since we're on radio, your listeners aren't going to be able to see it. But they can go to KwameAlexander.com and see the bus if they want. But we're in the middle of a 30-city bus tour.
Oh, my. It's Rebound. Oh, beautiful.
Right?
Oh.
And so we have to eat right on this tour. Otherwise, we were in Charleston and Savannah eating shrimp and grits. And so we got to sort of do the salad. Like last night, we got in. We had Caesar salads. So.
That's good.
Right. We have to try to make that effort. Otherwise, it just gets out of control.
Yep.
Yeah, my son always says, on the weekend, you can have what you want, but during the week, you got to eat what the doctor says.
That's good advice.
I like it.
So, Patricia made sure that I was going to ask you this question.
Uh-oh, let me sit down.
What difference has it made in your life?
Oh. Well, that's a great question. Yeah. I guess a couple things. Number one, I got a pool.
I got a nice pool.
It has like little waterfalls.
Waterfall thing, yeah.
It's beautiful. But seriously, what I get to be in front of more kids. More kids know about the books. More young people come to love poetry. They have an appreciation for books. You know, they see books as cool. Like I feel like I'm the ambassador to cool books. So, running the Newbery has given me an opportunity to not just think I was the ambassador to cool, but other people actually think it now. And it's all good because that means they read more books.
Right.
This is good.
But yeah, the pool.
You live in a hot climate.
I live in Virginia.
Yeah, it's pretty warm over there.
It's been snowing since December.
Right.
But I think we're done with the snow.
Hopefully.
Let's hope.
And now it'll be 95 degrees all summer.
Oh, that would be good.
Mm-hmm.
So, My other question, is this your literary name or is this your birth name? Kwame.
It's my birth name.
Nice.
I got like four names. My parents gave me four names. Edward Curtis Kwame Alexander.
Nice.
The second. Randy, what's your name?
Lewis Randolph Preston III.
Randy, say it like it's got a Lewis British
Randolph,
meaning.
Oh, Lewis Randolph Preston III. Thank
your name
you.
Is Lewis Randolph.
Of course, yes, it's wonderful. Course. I love it. It's marvelous.
Okay, okay.
Kwame, yes.
We're in the presence of royalty here.
Where are you from, Emma?
Arkansas.
What part?
About 15 minutes out of Louisiana, El Dorado.
El Dorado. El Dorado.
It's a song.
My name is Emma. I'm from a little town in Arkansas. We've never had a tornado.
This is true.
It's called El Dorado.
El Dorado.
Our town is in a valley and we don't get tornadoes.
Ooh, that's a nice lyric.
That's a nice
too.
Lyric.
Yeah. Our town is in a valley and we don't get tornadoes.
I live in a place called El Dorado.
Em, I think you're a songwriter.
I think you're a songwriter.
No. But I have a cousin who is about almost a year younger than me. When we were little, we thought we were. We make jokes about why we never became songwriters because we used to make up songs and stand out. We lived in the country. We'd stand outside and just sing our hearts out. But neither
that's
of us
awesome.
Became...
That's awesome.
Became songwriters. So... I think I read that you've written 24 books.
That's incorrect. 25. But who's counting?
Yeah, no one's counting.
I am. I'm counting.
Are they all written in prose?
Are they all written in verse? No. Most of them are. Yeah. Some of them are children's picture books. One of them is a traditional prose novel. Two of them are nonfiction, creative nonfiction, and the rest of them are poetry.
So are you a full-time writer?
I am. I told you I got a pool. I had to become a full-time writer before I can get a pool. My wife was like, first we got to pay the bills now. Yeah, so I've been a full-time writer since February 2nd, 2015.
Mm. I heard that you write at places like that pasta place.
Panera Bread.
Mm. So, do you wear earbuds to block out the sound while you write?
No, I wear earbuds so people think I'm not listening. But I'm actually listening to everything because I love hearing stuff. I love being distracted. I don't get distracted. I love knowing what's happening in the world around me. A lot of that stuff sometimes finds its way into the books. You know, I'm a stealer of life. Of other people's lives. It still lives.
It sounds dramatic.
It does.
Oh my God.
Like I'm already thinking of a country song for Emma.
Oh yeah.
I got a cousin. She was a year younger. We ate a lot of food. We're never hungry.
We can work it in there.
Actually, she doesn't eat a lot of food. She runs a lot.
Oh.
She's one of those girls.
Good.
Oh, good for her.
Yeah.
This is the Kwame and Randy Show.
I want to thank you guys for being with us.
On K-Boo.
K-Boo, baby.
FM.
Always.
I'm Kwame.
I'm Randy.
The novel is called The Crossover.
It's phenomenal. And we have another one called Rebound.
And we love being in Portland.
Portland is the best.
Hanging out with our new best friend.
And it's so weird. We love that.
We love what?
The weirdness of Portland.
But we love hanging out with our best friend, too.
Oh, and hanging out with our best friend is the best.
Emma.
Oh, you guys are too kind. So, who inspired you to write?
My parents were writers. So, I grew up around a lot of books. Being read to, reading books, reading their books. So, I came to writing first in the home. It was a part of our lives. Words mattered. And that's what I try to bring to young people when I'm interacting with them, that words matter. I just try to do it in a fun way with music and performance and a bus.
Who are your sheroes and heroes as writers?
Nikki Giovanni.
I heard she was one of your professors.
Langston Hughes, Pablo Neruda, Alice Walker, people like that. Yeah. Who are some of yours?
Oh, my goodness. Toni Morrison, Alice Walker, Jake California Cooper.
Oh, Emma, yes. You know Jake
She sat in this room twice. Wow. No, she used didn't. To live here.
Are you serious?
Wow. Before she moved down to California, near the end of her life, she lived here.
In Search of Satisfaction, Family, The Wake of the Wind, Homemade Love. She's one of the best writers ever.
She had Patricia meet at her house more than once.
Stop it.
Oh, my goodness.
Mm-hmm. Okay, now I'm really
jealous. She came to Patricia's house to visit at Christmas or Thanksgiving one time. Let us cook for her.
Was she like the characters she was writing in her books? Was she funny and sassy and witty and clever and just down home?
She was very Texas.
Okay.
Wow.
She was wonderful.
I would have loved to have met her. I've read every one of her books. Just a tremendous writer and storyteller and folklorist and just weaver of words.
Weaver of words. And she would fascinate you the whole evening. We didn't talk about anything else when we were with her. We just wanted to listen to her.
Of course.
Right.
Oh, what a blessing.
This is why she's our best friend.
Yeah, that's beautiful.
I like other writers too. I like James Michener because he's a great storyteller. Mm-hmm. And he had a wife who was a librarian that endeared me to him.
Right.
Who did his research for him. I like a lot of writers. These days, the stroke was a blessing as well as something horrible happening to me.
Sure.
Because then my two sons moved home and both of them are writers. Mm. And one of my sons thinks that he's going to be the next Spike Lee writer director.
Awesome.
My other son is always writing on some novel. He's been in some places. He has lots of stories. So dinner at our house is a lot of talk about literature, what they have heard, what they're writing, what they're reading. And right now, they're my favorite writers.
Oh, that's awesome. That's cool.
Are they coming out tonight?
I don't think so. Oh. Saul leaves for Las Vegas tomorrow on vacation. So I think he's running around trying to get his stuff packed. And my other son has a 9-year-old. I'm not really sure.
Gotcha.
He might turn up with me. They surprise me all the time.
That'd be awesome.
Thank you so very much for coming and visiting with us, for talking about your books. This was great.
Thank you for having us.
I hope you'll come back.
We want to come back, but we want to make sure next time we tie in some breakfast or lunch or dinner around it.
Absolutely. Yes, yes. Is there another book in the writing now?
There's another book that you might like, Emma. It's called Solo. It's about rock and roll music and about Ghana.
Really?
Tied those two things together, so you should check it out.
Yes. That sounds really good.
Yeah. Thank you for having us.
You are going to see us out with another poem?
Well, when you put it like that.
Well, heck yeah.
This is the undefeated. This is for the unforgettable, the swift and sweet ones who hurdled history and opened a world of possible. The ones who survived America by any means necessary, and the ones who didn't. This is for the undeniable, the ones who scored with chains on one hand and faith in the other. This is for the unflappable, the sophisticated ones who box adversity and tackle vision, who shine their light for the world to see and don't stop till the break of dawn. This is for the unafraid, the audacious ones who carried the red, white, and weary blues on the battlefield to save an imperfect union. The righteous marching ones who sang, "We shall not be moved because black lives matter." This is for the unspeakable. This is for the unlimited, unstoppable ones, the dreamers and the doers who swim across the big sea of our imagination and show us the majestic shores of the promised land. The Wilma Rudolphs, the Muhammad Ali's, the Althea Gibsons, the Jesse Owenses, the Jordans and the LeBrons, the Serenas and the Sheryls, the Reese Whitleys and the Undiscovered. This is for the unbelievable, the we real cool ones. This is for the unbending, the black as the night is beautiful ones. This is for the underdogs and the uncertain, the unspoken but no longer untitled. This is for the undefeated. This is for the undefeated. This is for you and you. This is for us.
This is something we try to say every day to make us remember how important each of us are, to remind us of our worth, that we gotta believe in ourselves if we expect anyone else to. And it goes like this.
Be a star.
Be a star.
In your mind.
In your mind.
Day and night.
Day and night.
Let it shine.
Let it shine.
Be a star.
Be a star.
Welcome to Book Waves. I'm Richard Walensky. My guest is Daniel Handler, whose latest novel is titled Bottle Grove. There are six other novels under the name Daniel Handler, one of which is All the Dirty Parts, which we will talk about. We Are Pirates is another one. There's also three not novels, Girls Standing on Lawns, Hurry Up and Wait,